Welcome back to another episode of Palisade Radio. This is your host, Colin Cattell. Returning guest on the program this year, it's about that time of year, Ronnie Stoferly, managing partner and fund manager at Incrementum, of course, the author, publisher behind the In Gold We Trust report, which can be found at ingoldwetrust.report. Ronnie, welcome back to the program. Always a pleasure to have you.
Hi, Colin. Thanks for having me again.
Well, congratulations not on the authoring of the report this year, but the fact that Germany was beat in the soccer match there, and Austria is celebrating.
Yeah. Well, that's really a big thing for Austrians. You have to know that Austrians are still celebrating the fact that they, more than 30 years ago, they won against Germany at the World Cup. But for us, it wasn't an important win. The most important thing was that by winning against Germany, we kicked them out of the World Cup. So there's some sort of rivalry between our two countries. But so most of the people were quite happy that the Germans were sent home yesterday.
Yeah, well, such a rivalry is totally normal anywhere across the world. So congrats on that, and happy to be able to pull you away from the World Cup to discuss the In Gold We Trust report this year. I guess I'll start with the question that I posed to you a few minutes before we started recording, which is a lot of things seem similar this year to when we talked last year. It's been a bit of a grind in the market for gold. So what do we talk about this year to differentiate things?
Well, somebody just wrote that gold is dancing cha-cha-cha, one step forward, one to the side, and one step back. It's actually markets and price action are actually extremely boring, I would say, at the moment. Nobody's really interested in gold. But we should not forget that, you know, last year gold was up 14% in dollar terms. Gold was up in every major currency. So. It's not that bad, actually. Since the beginning of the year, gold is down 4% in dollar terms. It is up in some other important currencies, also in Australian dollar, in Canadian dollar, and so on. So it's doing quite okay, I would say. For this year's report, we showed again that there's massive inflation. So we wrote even more than last year. So the 2018 In Gold We Trust report is more than 230 pages. And of course, we're covering mining stocks. We're covering the portfolio characteristics of gold. We're writing about inflation versus deflation, financial repression, the failure of macroeconomics. But I think most importantly, the so-called leitmotif of this report is the turning of the monetary tides. So we identified three big tidal changes that are happening. The first is the tide that is changing in monetary policy. What do we mean by that? We are seeing that after almost 10 years of a liquidity party on financial markets, where the biggest central banks created more than $50 trillion out of thin air, we are now slowly but surely moving to a quantitative tightening mode. So it's not only the Federal Reserve, but it's basically every major central bank that is becoming more hawkish. The Federal Reserve will reduce its balance sheet by $420 billion this year, and they will reduce in the balance sheet by $600 billion next year. That's not peanuts. That's quite a lot of money. So actually, from our point of view, people vastly underestimated the consequences of quantitative easing, and they are in danger of also underestimating the consequences of quantitative tightening. So this might be a big trigger for a market crash, a recession, whatever. But the liquidity party that we all got accustomed to is ending. So that's the first one. The second one is the de-dollarization. We're slowly but gradually seeing that the market is pulling away from king dollar, We have just seen last week that Russia, for example, sold 50% of its US Treasury holding while they were buying 600,000 ounces of gold just in 1 month. We're seeing that the petro yuan is established. So the Chinese are settling their oil trading in Chinese yuan terms. There's actually basically on a daily basis agreements coming out between emerging market countries circumventing the US dollar. I just returned from Kazakhstan. I stayed 1 week in Astana. It was really, really interesting for me. Of course, Kazakhstan is a big producer of uranium, but also of industrial metals, of course, energy, oil and gas, precious metals, and rare earth. So, very, very important market. And talking to some ministers from Kazakhstan, but also businessmen, it seems that they're also trying to circumvent the US dollar. So, settling their trades in euro terms, settling them in Chinese yuan terms, whatever. So this is a big trend, and of course, this de-dollarization, that's not one moment in time, it's just a process, and we're right in the middle of that process. And the third one is the technological tide that is turning. So we all know that Bitcoin and cryptos are kind of stealing the show from gold. If you talk to journalists, of course, they have to kind of sell their story. Readers are just more interested in developments in the crypto space and in blockchain technology at the moment. But many people regard crypto and gold as enemies. From my point of view, it's just competition. Being an Austrian economist, I enjoy competition because it makes the product better and cheaper. So why shouldn't there be any competition in the currency space? And we're having a fantastic interview with the nephew of Friedrich August von Hayek, who wrote about the denationalization of money already a couple of decades ago. And he agrees that actually Hayek would definitely welcome this new competition. But from my point of view, there are quite a lot of opportunities for a kind of symbiosis between gold and cryptos. So we are mentioning quite a lot of projects that are established by the Perth Mint, for example, the Royal Canadian Mint, the UK Mint. There's Tradewind Markets by Sprott together with Goldcorp and IEX. And Peter Grosskopf, the CEO of Sprott, he rightly said, gold has always been criticized as being an inefficient product, a lazy product, a product that's hard to transact with. It's almost as though the blockchain were invented for gold. The marriage of the two, I think it's going to be incredibly powerful. And I totally agree. I think through this new technology, we can make gold, this oldest monetary technology, more appealing for millennials. So therefore, I think we've got a slightly different view compared to many people in the gold industry. I think it's a very, very positive development.
Excellent. Well, point one there, switch of QE to QT. I find that gold bugs and any market participant for that sake will try to fit a narrative that is convenient for their narrative. And QE in theory several years back as a gold bull felt like it should have pushed the gold price way up. And it might have put inflation into the system, but gold didn't react over the last few QEs. So why do you think QT might finally push gold in the right direction for us?
Well, I think QE definitely had an effect on financial markets. We should not forget that gold was up from roughly $200 up to 1900 within a decade. So that was a big move. And of course, QE had an impact on the gold market, but I think it had a bigger impact on this what's also called the everything bubble. So the reason that equities, but also bonds, real estate, art, whatever, all over the globe is trading at or close to all-time highs is, from our point of view, clearly a consequence of loose monetary policy, quantitative easing, interest rates being too low, and so on. So, I mean, why should QT have an impact on gold? I think that when it comes to the economy and the stage that we're in the cycle, as Dave Rosenberg said, we are already in the seventh or in the eighth inning. Now, we can see that QT might end this party, and a bit similar to tapering for QE, QT is being executed on fixed specifications, and according to this plan, they are reducing its holdings of treasuries and mortgage-backed securities by increasing volume. So at the beginning it was 10 billion, then 20, 30. Beginning next quarter, it's going to be 40 billion per month. And in October, it's going to be 50 billion per month. This will have an effect on the market because it's not only quantitative tightening, but it's also rising interest rates. We are already seeing that money supply is falling. We are seeing that true money supply is falling. We are seeing that M2 is falling. And we are having some great long-term charts. For example, a chart showing interest rate cycles since 1914. And actually, in the last 100 years, 16 out of 19 rate hike cycles were followed by recessions. No, I don't want to be the party pooper. I don't want to be overly pessimistic, but we should not forget that it's already the second longest cycle. We should not forget that within this cycle, there was a massive buildup of debt, not only on a government side, but also corporate debt and on a private level. So we are much more dependent on low rates. We are much more fragile when it comes to rising rates. And we are now increasingly going into a more restrictive monetary environment. And this will have consequences. Now, I don't want to predict that this year or 2019 there will be a recession, but we updated this great chart that we already had in the last report, and it shows the most important economists that are questioned by Bloomberg. So those are the, those Ivy League PhDs sitting at Goldman, at JP, at the big international institutions, and so on. And they're asked if they see any recession in the next 3 years. And out of those, I think 80 economists, nobody is expecting a recession in the next 3 years. So it is pretty obvious that the market is not prepared for a recession at all. And if there's going to be recessionary fears coming in, this will have huge consequences for asset allocations. Because the fact, what really works in a recession, we crunched the numbers and we came to the conclusion that recessions are actually a pretty positive environment for gold. Why? Because gold discounts that rates will be lowered, that there will be fiscal stimulus, that monetary policy will be making a U-turn. So therefore, once recessionary fears come up, I think that gold will really perform big time. And of course, at the moment, it sounds perhaps a bit crazy, but normally, if all the economic numbers are as good as it gets, like it is now, if you see massive M&A, if you see unemployment at extremely low levels, that's normally the point in time when you should become a bit more cautious. So we're clearly bullish on gold. I think at 1250, it's a great entry point. And actually, Colin, our inflation signal, we just sent it out before, is at maximum strength. It changed to a full inflation signal just recently. So we are fully allocating in the precious metal space.
Excellent. Well, Ronnie, you mentioned that gold was up 14% last year in dollar terms, and gold was not alone. There were several commodities that were up, some of them substantially more than gold. And I was talking with Rick Rule the other day. He said that he had the fear that with commodities moving up, but the related equities not moving up yet, that if a recession comes, it could actually pull the commodities down with it, kind of like what happened in 2008. I'm wondering, though, if maybe commodities are showing us a leading indicator here of that inflation, because there's always talk of, gold is supposed to tell people before it's apparent that inflation is starting to kick in. What's your thought?
Well, the weakness that we're seeing in some commodities, especially in the agricultural commodities, is definitely a concern. Also, I'm not very bullish regarding industrial metals, especially copper doesn't look too well from a technical point of view. And of course, I mean, if we hit a recession, many commodities will have a hard time, definitely. Normally, gold is rising, oil is rising most when we're already in a recession or at the beginning of a recession. But normally, the recession is only announced like a couple of months or even a year later. So it's pretty useless, this official announcement that okay, we have been in a recession or we are in a recession now. However, when it comes to mining stocks and especially gold mining stocks, I have to disagree a bit with Rick Rule. We should not forget that in 2008, mining stocks, they were trading at an all-time high. No, they are far away from all-time highs. We should not forget that before 2008, as I've said before, the gold S&P ratio, for example, was constantly rising for 8 years. We have seen that that gold was doing well, that mining stocks were doing tremendously well. We have seen quite a lot going on in the M&A space. So now we're basically seeing the opposite. So if there should be a market correction, I think, as we have now corrected almost 80% from the all-time highs, I think there might be some sort of a correction, because mining stocks, of course, they also carry equity risk. But I don't think that we will see such a tremendous drawdown anymore. And I think, at the moment, the leverage on rising gold prices is higher than ever, because not all, but many of the companies, they de really did their homework. They did a tremendous job in cutting costs, in selling off projects, in cleaning their balance sheets. So initially, there might perhaps be a drawdown, but I think that mining stocks would, in the course of a crash, would recover pretty quickly.
Excellent. Well, on the point of de-dollarization, I'm just thinking back to the last reserve currency, which would, of course, been the British pound sterling. And if you think back in history, one would imagine that the dollar took over the pound right around 1900. But I think, if history serves me correctly, that it took a long time. It was kind of a slow process. And it doesn't happen overnight. So talking about de-dollarization, do you think this is going to be a continual slow process where the dollar loses its status, or is there going to be something dramatic that happens where it gets picked up by somebody else?
No, I agree. It's if you study monetary history, it's always a long process that sometimes even takes decades. And we have seen that with the British pound. There were basically two world wars in between, and then we have seen the Bretton Woods Agreement, and then it was kind of official that the US dollar is now the world leading currency. Why? Because the US had, I think, 28,000 tons of gold back in the day, so everybody was pretty confident that this basically gold-backed dollar is now the world leading currency. I think that it's no coincidence that all those countries where if you travel there, you can really feel, you can smell, you can taste that there is economic growth going on. While if you go to Western countries, you can see that there's some sort of a decline or stagnation. But it's no coincidence that all those emerging markets are constantly buying gold, while industrialized nations at least have stopped selling their gold. So the US holds, I know there's plenty of stories about that and theories, but I think those 8,000 tons are still around. The Eurozone holds more than 10,000 tons of gold. The IMF holds gold, and emerging market countries are constantly buying. So I think they get it. They know why gold is important for establishing trust in a currency. And from my point of view, I totally agree with Jim Rickards, who's on our advisory board, and he once said that if you want to play poker with the big guys, you have to bring chips to the table. So you have to bring golden chips if you really want to play high stakes poker. So I think that in the course of the next crisis, there might be some sort of a monetary reform. I don't think that it will be kind of a cyclical crisis. I don't think it will be only a local crisis in some country. Because if you study the history of crises, it always gets bigger, and that's also a consequence of our fiat money system, of course. So I think the next big crisis might be a monetary crisis and might lead to some sort of a reset. And normally in the course of those monetary resets, gold always plays a major role. Over here in Europe, when they introduced the euro, they in the whole campaign, they often showed that we've got such big gold holdings in the euro system, more than 10,800 tons. So it clearly shows when you want to establish a new currency, then you want to show people that you own lots of physical gold. So I totally agree with you. Those de those processes from one currency to another, they take time, but they often end with some big event. And from my point of view, as I've said, it might be some sort of a big financial crisis that leads to a monetary reset.
Well, Ronnie, your third point on the turning of the monetary tide, of course, was on cryptocurrencies. We've touched quite a bit on the program before on the potential for cryptocurrencies and how they could play in with gold. I think you're right that it could be the transactional side of what represents the best form of money out there. So we don't need to dive too deep into that. But obviously, Bitcoin and Ethereum and all these different currencies have been falling down quite a bit after that massive run last year. Whenever this happens, people start to question, is this real or is this going to zero? Do you think there's any chance that this is going to a zero and it'll just be something we look back on in fascination 15 years in the future and say, you remember that crazy mania? Or are you pretty certain this is going to stick?
Well, of course we will look back to this crazy mania, but I don't know if we're gonna look back only to the mania happening in the crypto space, but perhaps also in, 10-year Italian bonds at the negative yield and all those incredible valuations that we're seeing due to massive interventions by central banks. I'm definitely no expert on cryptos. We've got two colleagues, and especially Demelza Hayes, who is responsible for our crypto research report that we publish on a quarterly basis. That's kind of the sister report of the Ingoldby Trust report. And I think that there's, having a look at what's going on a corporate side and also in the finance industry, I just can see that there's enormous amounts of resources, not only financial resources, but also human resources entering the crypto space at the moment. I can see that Goldman and JP and many other big and influential banks are setting their trading desks for cryptos. I can tell you that many big banks and companies are working on products. It is pretty obvious that regulation is a big topic. So in every country, basically, there's news on regulation. And I think it's also something positive that because it shows that it's like in the beginning with the internet, most people said, yeah, okay, that's like only for child pornography and criminal stuff. It is basically the same with cryptos these days, but I think some sort of regulation, of course, not too much, can also be positive for the whole reception of a sector. It is pretty obvious that many stock exchanges are working on setting up businesses in that space. So from my point of view, we are seeing this financialization of the sector. I think there will be enormous capital flowing into this market this year, but also in the next couple of years. And of course, what's a fair value of Bitcoin? I got no idea what's the fair value of a Van Gogh painting. Yeah, nobody really knows. Yeah, prices are always highly subjective. But I just see that Bitcoin, with a market cap of 100 billion at the moment, Ethereum roughly 40, then Ripple 70. So the whole sector probably is like 250 billion at the moment. There's definitely quite a lot of room for quite a lot of upside. So we wrote about the crypto winter in the last crypto research report. I think that we have not seen the bottom yet. But as always, I think that has also a positive side, because all those crappy projects that were coming out in the last couple of months, they just will get weeded out of the market, and the best projects, the best teams, they will survive and will actually be stronger in the next leg up. So I just, Colin, I like the development because people are discussing money again. And I think it's an extremely important discussion that it's going on in the crypto space, in financial markets. People are discussing, is Bitcoin money? Is it better money than the dollar or the euro? Is it better money than gold? I think that's a very, very important discussion.
Well, final question for you, Ronnie. You mentioned that your inflation signal has just reached maximum strength. I want to get the inputs that go into that and understand why that is and what the implications are. What does that mean that the inflation signal is at maximum strength?
Well, of course, I cannot give you like the exact recipe, like Coca-Cola. It's kind of secret, but I can tell you what's included in the inflation signal. Of course, we're focusing mostly on relative price developments because, you know, if markets are that distorted by central banks, I think absolute prices do not really tell you or do not give you enough information at the moment. So we gauge more valid information from relative prices. So, for example, we are having the ratio between mining stocks and the S&P included. We've got the gold price included, but we've also got monetary aggregates and their momentum included. We've got the gold silver ratio included. And actually, the gold silver ratio is very important because, and we crunched the numbers on that, the gold silver ratio is a fantastic inflation indicator. So, gold silver ratio falling, meaning silver outperforming gold, is normally a good leading indicator for inflation. And moreover, it's a great confirmation indicator for gold. And that makes me pretty confident because at the moment we bounced off this 80, 82 massive resistance in the gold silver ratio. Now it's slowly going down, and that's normally a very, very good sign. I know that being bullish on gold at the moment is pretty contrarian, but you know, having a look at commitment of traders report, having a look at sentiment reports, having a look at price action, but also you know, on seasonality. That just leads me to a very, very positive conclusion. And I love the fact that nobody cares about gold at the moment. That's gonna change, but of course we will need a catalyst. And from my point of view, and that's really, really interesting, Mr. Bullard from the Federal Reserve St. Louis, he actually did exactly what we forecasted a couple of weeks ago. He just said that, you know, the Fed might be going too far too fast, and I think that betting against the rate hike cycle is one of the best calls at the moment. I think this rate hike cycle will be over pretty soon, and gold should be one of the biggest beneficiaries of this development.
Well, Ronnie, thank you so much for coming back on the program. Just for all of our listeners, once again, if you're interested in getting a copy of the In Gold We Trust report, go to ingoldwetrust.report, and that is the most thorough and, in layman's terms, review of the gold market and all the things that are going in and against the direction of gold. It's my favorite report each year. Ronnie, of course, is the managing partner and fund manager for Incrementum, which can be found at incrementum.li. Thanks for coming back on the program.
Thanks for having me, Colin. It's been a pleasure. All the best to you and all listeners. Thank you very much.
Think you understand the junior mining sector, and you think that the participants in the mining sector, junior mining sector, are good people and kind people? Hit the bid.
How violent that term could be? It actually could be quite violent. It could be a rip your face off uranium rally.
And the world is always going to need raw material. It's going to need copper and gold and nickel and so forth.
Totally destabilized. Hey, troll, did you hear what's going on?